All right, I think we're ready to start since it's about 11:30 right now. Just want to kick things off with a little clip right here. Unfortunately, I couldn't spring from Miracle Lights, but so I guess you have to use your phones or use your imagination. But no, what's up everybody? Welcome to Precure Ghosts in the Movies. I am Mikey Shiota. A little background on me, I do an anime podcast called Anime Bebe with my best friend Ryan. We're currently on hiatus, but one day we plan to be coming back, but there's all my social medias, and one thing's for certain is I'm a big Precure fan. I've been a fan since 2020. I got into it during the lockdown, and when Crunchyroll got Healing Good at the time, that was basically my impetus to finally get into the series after just being like, seeing it online, seeing pictures, seeing clips and stuff, going all like, oh, this is so cool, this looks so cute, I want to get into this, plus I love magical girls, I grew up on Sailor Moon, I watched Magical Dorimi on 4Kids TV, I love Captain Sakura, so I'm just like, Precure, this seems perfect for me, and I've been following the series ever since these past 4 years, just like watching any season I can get my hands on, and I'm currently about, I think I've watched like, 15 seasons up to this point right now, so I'm pretty far along. But we're not here to talk about seasons alone, we're here to talk about the movies, these special little films that they aired once or twice a year during each season. So the first one I want to talk about is the very first movie. We talked about Precure Max Heart, the movie, which premiered April 16th, 2005, directed by Jinji Shizu. And this is the first of the two Max Heart films, which is technically the second season of Precure, which is funny because like they had the first season, just Futari wa Precure, and then they had to wait until the second season to finally get some movies, just because they showed that, you know, series is popular enough, we can finally start really going hard on films. And I will admit, probably not the best start for the movies, like kind of a little shaky, plot's a little, it's like, it feels like a 90-minute movie that they had to cut down to 70 minutes, so they just kind of jump from like, okay, here's a fight, also here's Ikari, she's not really doing anything, unfortunately, also there's diamonds and whatnot.
Unfortunate modus operandi.
Yeah. But, you know, like, it at least looks nice, you know, you can tell that they at least put the effort into the animation for the film, which, like, you know, for Futaniwa, it already looks amazing, so, like, amping that up for, like, film quality, you can only go higher. But the first one that I really, really want to dive into is the second one.
Thank you.
By the way, I just gotta say, I love that just for the movies, they just straight up used the OP from the TV series. They didn't make an original OP. They just looked at it and went, yeah, this is already perfect. Let's just kick off the movies with this way. But yeah, this is, we're talking about Pretty Cure Max Part 2, Friends of the Snow, Lane, and Sky, premiered December 10th, 2005, also directed by Junji Shinzu. And I looked at this film, I watched it for the first time not too long ago, and I was all like, that's way more like it. It's like, they took what they learned from the first movie, you know, kind of like got past those growing pains, and they were like, okay, now we know how to do it. And they freaking nailed it, like easily a top tier film for me. And one of the things that really puts it over for me is the fact that it kind of harkens back to, like, you know, the big theme and message of, like, Futariwa as a whole, and that's the relationship between our two main cures, Nagisa and Honoka, Cure Black and Cure White. And the way they do this is that in the film, they kind of go through a bit of a rough patch, some bit of a relationship issues through a misunderstanding, and they're just kind of, like, a little awkward around each other. They really want to talk to each other and just kind of work things out, but it's too difficult, and eventually comes to a head where they come across the two main villains of the film, which are these two giant icemen that kind of look like JoJo villains. Like, they're all beefy, like beefcakes, like it's hilarious. But they confront them, and through their ice powers, these baddies are able to basically, you know, freeze their hearts, and that in turn turns them against each other. And it leads to probably one of the most gut-wrenching scenes in the entirety of the series. Like, you know, I hate to start this off on a bit of a downer, but, like, it's so good. Like, check this out. Like, that scene is amazing. Like, the first time I saw that, I was just like, tears were just like welling up. I'm just like, I hate to see them fight. I don't want to watch this, but at the same time, it looks really good. Like, just the hand-to-hand combat. Like, they go full on, like, having like a technical wrestling match right there. And also just the, and also one of the things I do like about this, like they take advantage of the fact that it's a movie, they wanted to make things a little bit, like, you know, bigger, to, like raise the stakes a bit, is that they kind of sort of bend their own rules where like, for the main Futariwa series, they had a bit of an internal mandate where they didn't want to show like any punches to the face or the gut or anything like that, and they kind of went around it just a little bit, where it's like, they heavily implied it, but you don't actually see it on screen, but it definitely goes a lot harder than what you see in the main series, but I also want to mention that apparently when this aired in theaters, there were reports of children crying at the scenes, and I don't blame them. So they were probably, and that kind of like leads to the folks at Toei going like, okay, maybe not in the future we'll have stuff like this, but Hirugata Sky, they kind of had something like this, but you know, that's not a year nor there. But yeah, I feel like this is like the perfect start to the films right there, you know, like second time's the charm. But going on from that is another aspect of the films is crossovers. As we would have our first crossover in March of 2009 with Pretty Cure All-Stars DX, Everyone is Friends, The Collection of Miracles. And I want to point out that DX, it's a kind of a thing you see like on a lot of Japanese titles, you know, like Wings Awakening DX or like Sonic Adventure DX, it just means deluxe. So it's just, like, it's extra large, it's big, it's stuffed. But this is directed by Takashi Otsuka, and this is the very first feature-length crossover film, though technically they did do a crossover short for like the 5th anniversary that was released during one of the Yes 5 films, but that doesn't really count. That was more like just a little special showcase. But here, this is the film that starts the yearly crossover trend where like at the start of each season, roughly a month or so into it, they would do like a crossover film where like the new heroes of the season meet the past heroes, and they kind of do a bit of a, they do a team up, and it also serves as a bit of a passing of the torch. And another thing about this film is that it helps introduce the Miracle Lights, which technically were introduced in the Yes 5 films, but through these films they were able to introduce them through like to the other teams, because one of the main aspects of the All-Star films early on is the fact that all the fairy mascots, they all know each other, and they're kind of like in like a little, you know,
council
or like the Justice League or something like that of Precure fairies. Like, they just all know each other. And like, similar to the first Max Heart movie, a little bit of a rocky start. Like, this one, I would say, kind of had some pacing issues where it's like, we introduce a cure team and we just spend like 10 minutes with them, like, completely like separate from like the other teams. So it's like, we don't really get to the crossover aspect until the climax, which thankfully does save the movie. Like, the final battle where like all the cures are teaming up together, fighting their own monsters of the week, while anytime they show up, the theme song from their show plays. I'm just all like, okay, you got me, you won me over. But similar to Max Heart, it's not until the second film, the second All-Stars film, where they really get things cooking.
Bye.
So yes, this is Precure All-Stars DX2, Light of Hope, Present the Rainbow Jewel, premiered March 20th, 2010, also directed by Takashi Osaka. And this film, I do like the setup for this film, where it's basically like all the Cures are gathered together to this theme park that's run by all their fairy mascots, and which leads to some fun little cameos, because in the crowd shots you see like a bunch of the different side characters that appeared in like all their seasons, even like side characters that appeared in the movies too. And whereas the last film had the Cures, you know, join forces to fight their monsters of the week, this one, they fight their resurrected baddies. Like, you have, like, Northa from Fresh Pretty Cure, like, lead these group of baddies that are from Yes 5 and from Splash Star. And also just, I feel like this film, like, they really help nail the crossover aspect, because, like, as soon as they get to the theme park, we just, like, all the teams are there, they're just, like, all running around with each other, and, like, the focus on the film is the two Heartcatch Cures, Cure Blossom and Cure Marine. And as soon as they get to the theme park, they meet up with the Fresh Pretty Cures, and it just leads them on a bit of a wild goose chase trying to find their own fairy mascots, Caulfrey and Sheepray. And eventually it leads into the baddies showing up, and it has a really, really cool scene. Like one of the first times, like, you just see like all the Cures team up together. Like, it's just, I look at the scene that I'm going to show here, and I can just imagine the kids in the theater watching this, and their minds blowing, like, oh my god, can this happen? How can this happen? That it's early on in the crossovers where you can do scenes like that, because if you try to do that now when there's like 78 Cures, they would just take up like 10 minutes of the film, like each of them introducing each other. But no, this film is like a lot of fun, and one of the things I find interesting about it is that it is one of the first Hardcatch films, and Hardcatch is notable for having a very distinct art style done by Yoshihiko Umekoshi, who's done stuff for My Hero Academia, Ojomajo Dorimi, and the original Berserk. So it's a season that has like a very unique art style, and for this crossover film to kind of make sure Blossom and Marine don't stand out, they kind of had to do a bit of a compromise with like the animation style. But thankfully, there is one scene later on where it's just like it's just those two, and they go back to the original art style just for like a very cool moment. But yeah, I feel like this film is like where they really hit their mark with the crossovers and started really figuring out the formula. But with Precure movies, it's not always all about the crossovers, as there are late in the seasons they would have their own standalone movies. And well, since we're on the subject of Hardcatch, might as well get into this. Theme is such a banger, and I love for this film, since it's set in France, they tried to French it up a little bit by adding some accordions at the start of the theme, so just to make it more thematically relevant. But yeah, this is Hardcatch Precure, fashion show in the flower capital. Really? Yes, really. Premiering October 30th, 2010, directed by Rie Matsumoto, who would go on to direct an amazing, like very like underrated series, Kyosou Giga. I definitely recommend it, and Blood Blockade Battlefront too. And this film also like continues the trend that the first Fresh film started, where the second movie in each season would premiere sometime around like mid to late October. Like sometimes they would break their own rules, you know, depending on the circumstances, but usually around Halloween time is when we get the second film. And as I mentioned, it is the very first Precure film to be set in an actual city, not a made-up city, just came up for the movie. And one thing about this movie that just really stood out to me when I first watched it is the fact that compared to other movies, it has a bit more of like a somber vibe, you know, just kind of like very low-key, you know, whereas like with the other Precure movies or other like Precure seasons, it's very like vibrant and colorful and exciting, but this one, it just kind of like, you know, just kind of, you know, just like, let things just get a little easier, you know, just like kind of like, just calms it down, just like focuses on a more character-driven story and, you know, a story that covers like, you know, themes of like fatherhood, abandonment, and loyalty, you know, centered around the two main villains of the movie, which, you know, I call them villains, but it's like they're more villains of like kind of just like circumstance. They're like put in a bad situation, they have nowhere to go, they only have each other, and they're just angry at the world for not accepting them, not like welcoming them into their world. And a scene that really showcases this, it's a pretty lengthy one, but I really like it, is the confrontation between Cure Moonlight and the main villain of the film, Salamander.
ああ、キュランジは強かったな。封印されていた数百年、一度だって忘れたことはなかった。屈辱。 ち簡単に破壊できると思ってたんだよ。
あなたたちの目的は世界の砂漠化でしょ。
関係ない。生まれた時、私はただ知りたいと思った。自分たちの存在、王の心の宇宙を。だがそれが心を嫌う王の怒りを買ったらしい。封印されていた数百年で私が得たものは、どこにも居場所のない世界への絶望と、砂漠の王とプリキュアへの復讐心だけだった。ルーガルー、お前最近力のコントロールがうまくできないんじゃないか。フランスに戻ってきた時注目すべきだったが、あの場所には私の力が強く残っている。数百年かけて培われた憎しみの力だ。それがアデムと引き合ってお前の力を増大させているんだよ。今は本体もお前が持っているが、暴走した力はお前の心を飲み込み、力のままに暴れる獣にするだろう。明日の満月、化け物の完成だ。世界は我々のような異物を受け入れない。賢いものだ。わかるよな。だが、すべて壊して終わりにしよう。一緒に来い、ルーガルー。そのための数年間だ。
There's a lot to dissect about that scene. Like, first of all, the direction and like the staging and everything like that. Like, with movies, you know, like they really want to amp things up, raise the stakes, and like they definitely really did with that. And also the fact that like the direction, it feels like something you would see in like, say, Evangelion or like Review Starlight or something like that, with like the spotlights and like the silent films in the background and all the footage and stuff. And also the fact that a lot of the stuff they were talking about at the beginning, you know, the history of Precure and like the main villain, the Desert Apostles, is like, a lot of that is technically canon to like all of Hardcatch, because a lot of that stuff is stuff they talk about in like light novels that or they take place before the main season. Which, it kind of makes me laugh that they say the first Precure is Cure Ange, and in a later season we do get an actual Cure Ange, and she's just like a regular Precure. So it just makes you laugh. But also the fact that, you know, like if you know Hardcatch and the fact that it's coming from a character like Cure Moonlight, you know, someone who has like some a bit trouble, like a bit of a history with like her own father and stuff, like a lot of this means a lot coming from her. The fact, like, you know, Salamander, you are practically raising this boy. You can't be using him just for your own gain. You know, you need to see what's more important in your life, not destroying it, like what's in front of you right now, and that's Olivier, or who the person you call Luguru. Like, it's so fantastic, and like if you love Hardcatch, like you need to do yourself a favor and like watch the film. Like, it's fantastic. But moving on to another solo film, another top tier film I really want to talk about. Like, this next one I want to talk about, just, it starts off like so incredibly hot. Like, it has like probably one of my favorite opening scenes in any Precure movie. So this is Star Twinkle Pretty Cure, Wish Upon a Song of Stars, premiered October 19, 2019, directed by Yuta Tanaka, who would direct Go Princess Pretty Cure and is famous for directing some of the best-looking episodes and films throughout the entire series. Like, if you see fans online bring up Tanaka, you know that they're just going to be gushing about the animation quality. Like, it's so much Sakuga, so much of the animators just flexing, just like, it's amazing. And this film, like, holy god, this is probably one of the most beautiful Precure films I have seen. And the film centers around Hikaru and Lala meeting this little alien. It's the star that falls into Lala's hair during the fight, and it grows into like the little alien you see on the poster right there named Yuma. And it's basically about them just like forming a bond with this like little alien through the power of just this little lullaby. Like, they can't communicate normally, but they communicate through just this little tune that they're a big fan of. Which, you know, it continues on with the themes of Star Trek: Pretty Cure, the main series. You know, all about communication and understanding. You know, just like, you know, even if you don't speak the same language, you can use music as like the universal language. which definitely comes to a head in like one of the big climax scenes. And also just to go back in like the opening scene, like one of the things I really love about it is just the fact that it's just, if I wanted to show someone what Star Twinkle Pretty Cure is all about, just give them a rough idea and I only had like 2 minutes, I would show them that scene. Like that is pure distilled Star Twinkle. Just like all the cures together, great action, all their different combat styles, and then just mowing down mobs of like the foot soldiers of the main baddies that they fight. And another aspect of the opening is that as you saw the dog alien, the space cop. Her name is Marianne, and she actually did show up in one episode of the main series that was used to tie into the movie. Like there's even a scene where like she's trying to pull out handcuffs, and she pulls out the little miracle light, you know, the little lights that they hand out to the audience before the milk for the movie. And she's like, "Oh, what's this? I'm not supposed to use this yet." And then puts it back. And I will say, like, I look at a character like Marianne. I just want to go off on a brief tangent. It's a big missed opportunity because the mid-season cure for the season, Cure Cosmo Uni, she starts us off as a phantom thief. And I think like, oh, it would be great if she was like still a phantom thief and she had like basically her own Zenigata to her being Lupin. Like it would be great if like the Cures were like fighting off the Knot Raiders and then Marianne would show up to try to arrest Cure Cosmo. Like she only shows up in that one episode and in this movie, and I think like, that's a shame. Like they should have done more with her. I wanted to see like that Lupin Zenigata dynamic. But yeah, to go back down to the you know, main movie, like big themes of like communication, music as a universal language, and like it all comes to a head in probably one of the most beautiful scenes I've ever seen in like a Precure movie right here. There, but like it continues on where like the rest of the Cures join in and they sing like this big song just to like calm down the their alien friend Yuma, who just like went just absolutely nuts during like the big climax of the movie. And just like it's just so amazing, like just the film, like only like a little over an hour long, but they got me to care about just this little tiny alien that they just only just met that they're gonna have to say goodbye to at the end of the movie. But I'm just like, God, it's so good. Plus, this was the first movie I ever saw out of Pretty Cure, so like I picked a good one to start off with. But going on from that, you know, we talked about some of the standalone movies. Let's head back onto the crossovers for like the rest of the panel here, and let's talk about a really big one of the bigger crossovers, one to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the series.
Thank you. ごち。
こっちもやっちゃってる。トイレはあっちで。
行くよ。こちらの処理は任せてください。
That has a great payoff later on that I will get to, but yes, this is Hakuto Prettycure Futaniwa Prettycure All Stars Memories, which premiered October 27, 2018, directed by the team of Hiroshi Miyamoto and Yasuhiro Kato, who mostly did the CGI for this film. And for this film, they really wanted to go big for this, like having all 55 Cures up to that point appearing in the movie and also having dialogue. Like, they had to bring in all 55 of their seiyuu to come in and record like one or two lines, or maybe even more depending on their scenes. But this film is mainly all about honoring and cherishing the memories that Prettycure has given the fans throughout the entire years, you know. You know, hence why it's called All Stars Memories, and the fact that memories are a key aspect of the film, as it's one of the things that the main villain of the film, Miden, is like always after. He is trying to steal all the memories of like each of the Prettycures. And while on the subject of Miden, I have to showcase him a little bit here. So there's a lot to dissect about the main villain here. So one is the design. Like, he's meant to be a combination of a camera and a Teru Bozu doll. Like, you see it in his eyes, like whenever he has his eyes look like shutters. And him also being a Teru Bozu doll, you know, like, if you know what those are about, it's basically like you hang those up to make sure like you don't have any rain, you know. It's basically like kind of a superstition kind of thing. And I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it, but it does have like actually a really sweet meaning at the end of the movie. But the biggest thing about him is his voice actor, his seiyuu, played by Mamoru Miyano, who has done a ton of like roles over in tons of anime. But like, you know, if you've seen Zombieland Saga, he's the manager of Kotaro. So like, if you've seen clips of him just like going full ham, like he's basically like bringing that energy to this movie, just basically like being able to recite pre-cure attacks or like pre-cure catchphrases. Like, if you just wanted to see him just basically just run through like the history of pre-cure all on his own, like that's worth the price of admission alone. And the fact that his powers is the, you know, he steals the memories of the cures, absorbs their powers, and like their personalities, really, it's basically leaves the pre-cures not really empty shells, but more like in another vulnerable state. Yeah, they turn into babies. Like, when they're without their memories and their powers, like, they still keep their pretty cute costumes, but they're just all babies, and they're just, like, stuck in this playroom, just hanging out together. Which, like, if you go back and just, like, just pause it when you get to, like, the big group shots, just take the time to just, like, look at what each individual cure groups are doing. Like, it's very, very cute, you know? Like, you have, you look at the Yes 5 cures, and you see, like, Milky Rose on the bottom of the slide, going, like, no, don't go down the slide, and Cure Dream is like, okay, I'm going down the slide, and just, like, runs right into her. Or, like, in another scene, you see Cure Passion, like, stuck in a beanbag chair, and Cure Barry trying to, like, pull her out. Or, like, or, yeah, like, Cure Marine standing on top of a block, trying to pull Blossom up, and Blossom's like, no, it's too scary. Or, I think the cutest one is, like, in the corner of the last clip, you see Cure Moonlight, one of the more mature adult cures, like, having story time with the other cures, just, like, reading a book to them, like, it's so sweet. But, you know, since they're all being turned into babies, and in the previous clip I showed during the fight with Midden, he turns the Hucto cures into babies as well, and it actually leads to a great payoff of the Bolt line in the opening, where, you know, Rudu, she's an android, and they were thinking, like, okay, so if you're an android, and if you were a baby, you would just be, like, a Bolt. So they get turned into babies, and during the commotion, Kira yells like, Where's Ruru? She looks down, sees a bolt, and she's like, she turned into a bolt! And then as she's running away with them, she trips, drops the bolt, and then little babby Ruru picks up the bolt and hands it to her. Like, so she's still turned into a baby, and there's just this random bolt lying around on the field. Like, it's great. Like, I really do enjoy this movie. Hucto has become one of my favorite seasons recently. I mean, based on the fact that I'm cosplaying Homare right now, like Kirito, like in her human form. But you know, one of the big messages of this film is, you know, since it's centered around memories, cherishing memories, sharing memories, it's basically Precure's way of teaching fans, you know, don't hoard it all to yourself, don't gatekeep Precure, and like instead share the love, share it with others, you know. And it all comes to a head in, like, this big climax scene right here.
Thank you.
Like, I think that's cute, you know, it's like, it's very, like, one can look at it and go like, okay, that's a little corny, but like, no, it's a lot of fun. I can only imagine, like, watching this in a theater with, like, a whole theater packed full of fans just all cheering and chanting, going, hooray, hooray, Pretty Cure, and just, like, just watching this and just feeling so good, and also just, like, remembering, like, all the times, like, watching the show on TV, and it leading into a really great final battle where it's, like, I like to describe the final battle in this movie where they kind of book it like the WWE Royal Rumble, where basically, like, you know, every few minutes someone comes out, their music hits, they run wild, hit all their signature spots. And in this, they do pretty much the same, like, their theme music hits, like, they play a really great medley of all the theme songs, and like, once a team's music hits, they come in, they run wild, they hit all their big signature moves, like, they say their catchphrases, like, it's very, very cool, like a big, fun 7-minute climax of the film. So yeah, I enjoy this movie, it's really great, but I want to close things off on a more recent film. Like, I like this crossover, but the next one I want to talk about, I think it's an even better crossover. Oh, Yui, always a food monster. But this is the most recent film, Pretty Cure All-Stars F, premiered on September 15, 2013, and directed by Yuta Tanaka. This would actually be his last Pretty Cure project before leaving Toei altogether. And this is actually the first crossover film since 2020, and the first All-Stars film since, you know, All-Stars Memory in 2018. Unfortunately, they had to stop doing the crossover films because the schedule of the movies got a little warped due to the you-know-what that has been happening these past few years. But the biggest thing about this, you know, compared to like other all-star movies, other crossover movies, is that they shake up the formula a little bit by, instead of just having like all the teams together and then just like, you know, you have one team, you have another team, they all work together, they decide to like, you know, since this is all-stars, let's make these mini all-star teams. Like, let's take a bunch of different cures from like each individual teams and then make up teams with each of the Hirugaru Sky cures leading them. Like, I think that's a very, very unique part of the film, and I would love to see them do more, because I can only imagine just the different combinations you can think of. Like, that's, you can just think like, oh yeah, these cures from this season, they would be cool to fight together, or these cures, they like have similar powers, and so like, it's so great. And one of the aspects of this movie is the fact that, you know, since the last film was like, since the last All-Stars film was like, you know, hey, don't be a gatekeeper, this film was all about, hey, don't make your OCs OP. Like, they pretty much fight in an original, like, someone's OC, and it's just like, I am super powerful, I am the greatest Pretty Cure of all time, all of the Pretty Cures are pale in comparison to me. And it just, like, it leads to the climax where it's like, no, you aren't, you can't beat the originals. But, you know, again, one of the things I like about this movie is just, like, the different interactions with, like, different Kirs and, like, just kind of, like, you know, subtle references to, like, pre-Kir history, if you know it well. Like, say, for example, you have Tsubasa, Kir Wing, you know, he meets Kir Flora from Go Princess Pretty Kir. Like, her opening scene is, like, referencing the first fight in Go Princess Pretty Kir. Or, like, you have Kir Prism meets Kir Grace from Healing Good, and they have, like, a little conversation, and that means a lot because Kir Prism is played by the same seiyuu as Kir Grace's little fairy friend, Rabirin. So it's the little things like that. And also just even little moments like this. Just them being silly, and like, I also love the fact that they have like Sora lead the gremlin trio right there, like all the gremlin peers. But the big one thing I really want to talk about, I'm going over time a little bit, but I don't care. Like, I want to end this off with a bang. Like, this movie has probably the craziest, wildest final battles I have ever seen in a Pretty Kir movie. This might be spoilers, but I don't care. This is awesome. Let's watch this.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like, that's insane. I remember I first watched that movie with, like, two of my friends. Like, you know, shout out to Ruby and Prism. Follow them on Twitter at Passion Tentacle and at Prism High School. And, like, we were just, like, both, we were just all freaking out, going, oh my god, what is this? Oh, this team up's holy, jeez, oh my gosh. And, like, we even, after we watched this, we went back and, like, just went frame by frame by frame, just, like, pick up all, like, the little inside references, or, like, see, like, all the different cameos that they had all the years. It's, like, in that moment, it's, like, a 5-minute climax, and it's just, like, a big celebration of, like, everything Pretty Cure has been these past 20 years. And it's just, there's, like, there's no better way to, like, end that movie off. Like, Do yourselves a favor, watch All Stars F. It is phenomenal. I love it so much. But we are a little over time, but we're coming to the very end of the movies. But this has been Pretty Cure Go to the Movies. Thank you all for coming here. And you know, like with any Pretty Cure theme, any Pretty Cure thing, I gotta end it off the right way. Always gonna end off with a quick dance number, but yes, this has been Pretty Cure Go to the Movies. I've been your host, Mikey Shiota. Here's all my social medias, follow me there. I tweet about a lot of stuff. I tweet about wrestling, Yuri, but I also tweet a lot about Pretty Cure. I do threads on any of the seasons I'm watching, so look out for those. And also, if you're wondering where you can watch all these movies, unfortunately, they're not streaming anywhere officially, but if you go to the, you know, perfectly legal DVD shop, the one run by a cat that goes, nyah, you can find all these movies and more, so definitely give those a watch, and also just watch Pretty Cure in general. Watch it, love it, share it with others. It's amazing. I want more people to get into it. But thanks again. Have a good rest of your final day of D-Sword.